you pray with me? Loving God, your word this morning is very familiar to us. It's easy to fall back on all the times we've heard it before and say we know it. But give us hearts and minds to be attentive to it, to hear what you are saying to us today through it, and to know it, that it is the truth, that we need to follow it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The Reverend John Vandalar is a Methodist minister, and he has a website blog entitled Socrates. And in a blog about today's lectionary passages, he writes, "You may have seen the video of the awareness test, in which two teams, one dressed in black and one dressed in white, pass basketballs around to each other. And the viewer of this video are asked to count how many times the white team passes the basketball. Now, while the balls are being passed back and forth, a man in a bear suit moonwalks through the middle of the players. Then afterwards, the viewers are asked if they saw the moonwalking bear. In almost every case, people are surprised to hear that such a thing occurred until the video is replayed, and then they see the moonwalking bear." John goes on to say, "I can't help but feel that this is what happens all too often with the Sermon on the Mount, and especially with the Beatitudes. We have tended to spiritualize what Jesus was saying to the point where it almost makes no sense. We have turned this incredible sermon into a series of platitudes and self-help guidelines for being happy." Well, last year, at our joint Lenten series with Myersville and Trinity, we talked about the Beatitude. We took a couple of them each week. And one of the things that became very obvious as we talked about them is the Beatitudes are not what they first seem, as Reverend Vandalar says. They're not about becoming doormats for the sake of being blessed by Christ. Rather, they are about a radical letting go of our wants, of our needs, of our desires, of our egos, so that there can be more of what God wants and what God desires. The Beatitudes are a call to discipleship for all who call themselves Christians. Meekness, poor in spirit, mourning are not calls to be meek, are not calls to mourn all the time, or are not calls to be poor in spirit, oh poor me, but to let go of ourselves so that there can be more of God within us. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness are those who put their actions on hold and do what God wants them to do. What's important to note, and I know I say this often, but I think it's we need to keep being reminded of it week in and week out, that our culture today, what God wants is rarely what the world or humanity wants. We run by separate rules, separate set of directions. And so we look at the Beatitudes and we say, that cannot be right. And that's why John, I think, says they just seem almost comical. But that's why the Beatitudes are so radical. They are so countercultural because they are so opposed to how we operate as human beings. We're so busy living our lives the way the world wants that we don't see the moon walking bare of God's Spirit calling us to live differently. I do want to point out something that was I had really thought of until I was working on this sermon by Dr. Fred Craddock, one of the best preachers in our world today. And he says, it's very important then to recognize that the Beatitudes appear at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, before a single instruction is given, before there has been time for obedience or disobedience. If the blessings were only for the deserving, very likely they would have been stated at the end of the sermon, probably prefaced with a conditional clause, if you've done all these things. But appearing at the beginning, they say that God's favor precedes all of our endeavors. In fact, all our efforts at kingdom living are in response to the divine grace, motivated by, because of, not in order to. In this regard, the Sermon on the Mount begins as the Ten Commandments begins, with a statement of God's gracious initiative. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the land of bondage. God is a God who desires to bless us and does bless us. So it then behooves us, as a response to that blessing, to live our lives as God wants us to live them. Of course, Micah simplifies it with the memorable words, what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? As I said, Micah could be called Beatitudes Light. When we live God's way, we do things differently. And that's why Paul talks about being fools for Christ. Because the world looks at us and says, you're a fool. They don't understand God's ways. And so, we do things differently than most people. We moonwalk through the lives of people of the world, doing things God's way. They may see it, they may not. But we're being faithful. In just a few minutes, we will be ordaining and installing ruling elders and deacons. And one of the questions that they will answer is, do you promise to serve the people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love? I always liked that question. I think I liked it the most of all of them. I remember, and I shared with them when I was talking with them, I remember one time I read someplace that the people that were being ordained and installed were asked that question, and the guy said, well, when I get some. It takes intelligence and imagination, though, to find the alternate way, to seek out God's way and to follow it, to be a fool for Christ. But it's not just what our officers are asked to do. It's what we're all called to do, to find God's way and to follow it. And I hope we can do that. We can continue to work on that, continue to do that as individuals and as a church. I hope we can see the Spirit moonwalking in and through our lives and have the courage to say, that's the one I want to follow. I don't want to stay back here and count basketballs with the world. I want to follow the moonwalking Spirit. Amen.